Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners to our Easter Sunday radio worship service. Alleluia! Christ the Lord is risen today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus Christ, on this Sunday morning we sing our hallelujahs to you as we observe your resurrection from the grave and your victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. Lord, we pray that it may be a glorious celebration wherever the Easter message is heard this day, but we pray that it may win its way into our hearts, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, we may live as people who believe with all the power within us that we have a living Savior and we can face today, tomorrow, and all eternity in Him. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was yet still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Here ends the reading of this Easter Gospel.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, he lives, who once was. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives, my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Savior, still the same. What joy the blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
3 weeks ago, I delivered a message to two great-grandparents that their 13-year-old great-granddaughter had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I knew that this message would be devastating to these elderly friends. Life would never be quite the same for them again. Time would heal, but there would always be that empty spot. Those journeys are not easy to take. But what a joy it is today to stand as one of God's messengers and say to you that we have a message of hope. It is a message of good news, and it is simply this: Christ is risen. And through that resurrection, he has won for us the victory over sin, death, and the devil. It is a message of hope. And when our lives are based on this message, they are never the same again. So what I'd like to do on this Easter is to take you back over that gospel once more. And I refer to the gospel of St. John, the one that we have already read. The Bible tells us that it was early on the first day of the week, and it was still dark. But some women got up and went out to the tomb to anoint that body. Among them was Mary Magdalene. She went to the tomb and she saw the stone that had been moved away, and she got very excited. She looked in and there was no body there. So she ran as rapidly as she could to Simon Peter and John, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we have no idea where they have put him." Well, that really concerned Peter and John, so they too ran to the tomb, and John was a better runner than Peter, so he got there first, but he stood outside. When Peter finally got there, he went right into the tomb, and there were the linens in which Jesus' body had been wrapped. And then John joined him inside. They saw that he had been taken from the tomb, that he had been raised. And finally they understood what had been taught to them, but they still had not comprehended it, that Jesus Christ must be raised from the dead. So they went back to wherever they were staying, but Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb crying. And as she stood there, whatever it might have been, weeping, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white. They were seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. When they saw the woman crying, they said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him. But if you will only let me know, I'll go and take care of him." And then it was, she thought that it perhaps was a janitor or a gardener or someone like that. But the voice said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And again she explained that she was looking for Jesus. And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and looked at him and recognized that it was Jesus. And she said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then Jesus said, "Don't hold me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples this news, "I have seen the Lord." And that's the Easter story. I say to you, friend, that on this story, Christianity stands or falls. Without the resurrection, Jesus is not a living Lord, but at the most a dead martyr. And that is not enough to satisfy our needs and to solve our deepest problems. But because he lives, the promises of Jesus Christ are sure for those who trust in him. Because these promises deal with every phase of our lives, just take a look. Because he lives, I can live with confidence today. Now, not everybody can live with confidence, for there are problems too big for us to handle while we walk on this earth day in and day out. We finally have to leave them in the hands of the Lord. A few days ago, I was reading a Minneapolis paper, and I learned that young people from St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, were on their way down into the Southland to New Orleans. There they were going to help a relative in some schoolwork. But while they were driving in the middle of the night, a person who supposedly reported drunk was coming down the wrong side of the highway. There was a head-on crash, and 3 of the 5 students were killed. How do you think those relatives faced that? They couldn't. Did they have strength? Now, I don't know these families at all. I don't have any idea what kind of strength they might have had. But certainly we can realize that no human is adequate to face that message alone. Again, time would probably heal to some extent, but their lives would never be quite the same. But if they were Christians, and I pray to God that they were, they had a promise. And the promise was this: "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." That, my friend, is a promise that comes to us from Jesus Christ. He could never have made that promise had he not been raised from the dead. For had he not been raised from the dead, he would be a martyr only. But now that he has been raised from the dead, he is the living Lord, and I am with you always. Oh, let that live in our hearts, friend, and suddenly things become quite different. Quite often, when one visits people who are in distress, and you begin to read a portion of Scripture, you might ask them, what would you like to have me read? Again and again, I have heard people say, just read that 23rd Psalm. It means so much to me. And you'd come to that verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That is a blessed promise that comes to us from God. While it comes from the Old Testament, it is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is yet to come in the future. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the 23rd Psalm could be beautiful poetry, but would have no meaning, for it is based on a God who lives. Because he lives, I can not only face today with some security, but I can face tomorrow with confidence. Tomorrow can be frightening, or it can be very challenging. It can be frightening because we can face some of the inadequacies of our own being. And we can say, man, I don't know how I'm going to handle this if it ever comes to take place in my life. Future can be kind of earth-shattering. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, you know that you do not walk that way alone. There is a wonder about health. You know, we hear the news that this one has died or this one is very, very sick. And we ask ourselves the question, why? And what would happen if it came to me? The answer to that is because Jesus Christ is alive. We again can face tomorrow because he has promised to be with us. We see some of the temptations that can come our way. And what do we do when these temptations are ours? Will we be overwhelmed? Well, we have a passage in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by St. Paul on the basis of the resurrection. This is what it says, God is faithful. And he's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out that you can stand up under it. That is all related to the resurrection. Because he lives and has won the victory for us over Satan. Satan does not have dominion over us if we will but turn and trust in Jesus Christ. And when we fall, and Satan could think, well, now I have really won the victory in his life, then it is that Christ Jesus comes and says, trusting in me, your sin can be forgiven. And once more on the basis of that resurrection, Satan is defeated. I can have assurance that all is well for tomorrow. A few days ago, my wife and I were visiting with a person who has been a teacher in our church for a long time, been one of the head teachers in our preschool area, where she took little ones from grades 3 through 4 and taught them some of the basics in preparation for going to public school, and then also telling them a bit more about Jesus. She's going to retire now after many, many years of faithful teaching in that school. And as we reminisced about all the good experiences, she said, you know, I used to get up in the morning and I was so happy to go because I knew that today was going to be a real challenge. and I'm not quite sure how it's going to be after my retirement. But this I am convinced of beyond all doubt, that God has something else for me to do even after I have finished teaching those children. That's on the basis of the resurrection, because she has a living Lord, and that living Lord will be able to use her in so many great ways. So because he lives, I walk confidently today and with assurance for tomorrow. But even more than that, because he lives, we can face eternity with full assurance that in Jesus Christ, we are his forever. Forever, friend. Because he lives, eternity is ours. We are assured beyond all doubt that when we die, we are going to heaven. How can we be sure of that? It is because it is all by grace. It is what Christ has done for us and not what we have done for ourselves. But you remember when he stood there in Bethany and he looked into the face of Martha and he said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he said, "Martha, do you believe this?" And she replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe." St. Paul, when he was writing again to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians 15, and I would urge you to read this chapter before you go to bed on this Easter day. Here he's talking about the resurrection. And finally he gets to the end of that whole chapter and he's ready to let it all go. And he cries out in that great victorious way, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." There's a victory because he lives. And so you and I can walk away from the grave, brokenhearted, but with peace in our soul. We can say with Job of old, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand up on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, is no blowhard. He has given us promises, and he will deliver what he has promised to those who trust him. Jesus Christ is alive. That is a biblical truth. My prayer, friend, for you is that he lives in your heart and moves and motivates you both today, tomorrow, and in eternity. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice achieve. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me alone.
Jesus, thou who art the risen one, grant that you may live in our hearts. Lord, we pray that as the disciples of old were motivated and knew beyond all doubt that they not only had a Savior, but they had one who had been raised, who had walked where they had walked, who understood their difficulties, but then had overcome all of these things through their glorious resurrection. Help us, O God, that as we bathe ourselves in these great truths of the resurrection, our lives may manifest that we are children of the risen Lord, that we may be positive about the things that face us today, tomorrow, and for all eternity, for we never walk alone. Christ Jesus, the risen one, walks with us. So, Lord, may your blessings rest upon us as we finish another Easter day. But may the great dynamic truths and the power that comes from that day truly live in our hearts until we see you face to face. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. We would like to know something about you also. As part of our listening family, you are important to us. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet of biblical passages titled, God's Love Never Fails. This booklet shares insights about God's love from Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, and others. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.